WWE, the custody of a child will be determined in a match. Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, Hollywood blonde, but my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni.
Get a horse of time, fool.
Put that cigarette out.
Will you stop?
Hello, internet world. No matter where you are, whether you are at home, in your car, or already falling in line for Mania, for trying to get those tickets, welcome to the premiere episode of Drunk Wrestling History. This is a very special day here. I am your designated host. My name is Adam, and of course, we have a great panel here to take you through this adventure that we are about to embark on. Who do we have here today?
First up,
there we go.
This is Scott, one half of the Drunkards.
And this is Eddie. It's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
Also, just want to point out a fun fact. So there was a celebratory shot that was done right before this podcast started. Eddie didn't do one because he was beyond confident that his alcohol level was already there. So we're going to let that one slide, but I mean, at least he's show ready, but he wasn't part of the celebration. So if anybody wants to point that out on Twitter and call him out on it, feel free to do so. Which, by the way, Twitter handle, make sure that you follow us here. It's going to be at @wrestling_drunk. Again, that's on Twitter, @wrestling_drunk, because you are under some kind of influence, and you're also not likely to score if you are inebriated in that way.
Hey, I just like to point out, you know what, though, he tried to shame me into doing a shot before we started this, and I was like, dude, I'm fine, I'm like exactly how drunk I want to be to do this, and then we kind of dicked around a little bit, and then 15, 20 minutes goes by, and I was like, you know what, now I'm ready to do a shot, so...
So, hey,
okay,
I've got
there
a
we
shot
go.
Of Jaeger sitting right here in front of me, and I'm going to do the shot. Cheers.
We're raising our glasses. Cheers.
L'chaim.
Oy vey.
Yes.
All right. So, no matter what source you're finding us on, we're going to be on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and just any way that you need to get a hold of us. I want to post about us. Again, Twitter @wrestling_drunk. So as if there wasn't enough wrestling options available, this show is a very unique one. So let's get you up to speed on how we got here. So, I mean, this was pretty much like drunk night. Hey, what if we do a podcast? Or
exactly.
How was it? Or,
yeah, well, like literally hanging out in an Italian restaurant talking about podcasts. And Ed and I have known each other since, what, 94?
Yeah,
93,
92, I think.
92,
yeah,
right. So
since like WrestleMania 7.
Okay, so WrestleMania 7 would have been around like 92. So we've been.
Hang on, can you hold on? Can you come back here?
Okay, well, this is going to become part of the show.
So
first episode, stuff already.
Episode one.
One of the concepts we had for the show was if something goes down while we're doing the show, well, it'll be addressed.
My wedding ring. Literally just broke.
Yeah.
Like they broke and look at this.
Right.
Episode is
yeah,
this a
so
sign?
My wife.
Oh boy.
Like,
I do not know.
Yeah.
So how does
wife,
this happen?
Carissa just came in and she showed me her wedding ring. It broke. It actually just like, it looks
like
someone.
Lit.
Yeah.
No, I don't even know.
Awesome. All right. Well,
I was is it going to fix my other necklace anyway? So we'll get that fixed.
All right. Well, you guys spread the word and click subscribe because we got to get some fucking. We're going to need some sponsors for this.
Yeah. Maybe
yeah,
by the
right
end
off
of the podcast,
the
we'll start a GoFundMe for Carissa's ring.
Fuck.
This is tragic. Episode one. Anyway.
Right. This would be a great storyline for in ring action.
Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, so back to.
So we're coming up on almost 30 years of friendship. And every time we hang out. Well, every time. Okay, 99.8% of the time that we hang out, we're drinking, we're getting drunk, we're having fun.
We do.
And what do? We talk about wrestling.
And watch wrestling.
We watch wrestling.
And I can vouch for that.
We talk about wrestling. We maybe sing Iron Maiden every now and then, but we talk wrestling. That's what we do. So at an Italian restaurant, we're hanging out. This is a couple months back. We're like, dude, what if we started a podcast where we drink and we talk about wrestling. And it worked out that we had an amazing person in our lives named Adam that does improv, that does trivia, and would serve as a hell of a host. So that's why Adam is a part of this show, along with Ed and I, who are kind of the wrestling voices. And we've been friends for almost 30 years. We've been watching wrestling since the mid-80s. Myself, I can say I've watched AWA, NWA, WCW, WWF, WWE, PWG, you name it. I've watched it, ROH. Ed has always been more traditionally WWF / WWE, but he can talk turkey with the best of them. Adam has a good working knowledge of most current day WWE, and that kind of brings us to current day. Now we've got a podcast where we drink and we talk about pretty much anything wrestling.
And just a quick note to point out, they are drinking. I particularly am not.
Well, you're drinking Dr. Pepper.
I am drinking Dr. Pepper, so there, you guys are getting alcohol. I'm getting diabetes from this. So,
and that's why we decided you were the perfect host for it, because we were like, it's some... So just to break kayfabe here, if you will.
Pull back the curtain, if you will.
Yes. We're not recording an episode a week. We're recording several. We're recording a couple months worth of episodes at a time, because to do a drunk podcast is kind of... it's taxing on you. You understand?
Yes. It takes a toll. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So you can't do that every week. So we decided we'd record like old school Superstars of Wrestling Challenge style, record several, or even NXT recently, or the great NWA.
Yes.
Right?
Record a batch in one shot. Yes.
So that was kind of the way we decided to do it. And we were like, we're probably going to get more drunk as we go. So look for that in the coming weeks.
Yeah. So episode 2 through 4 are going to be way shittier.
Yeah.
Than this.
So we decided we needed someone who wasn't going to drink to really hold the shit together.
And I also anticipate at some future episodes.
You also disappoint.
I'm probably going to be holding the two of you up on your chairs at some point, or I'm
going
to be.
Or you may be going solo, depending on how this goes.
No, it's inevitable. I mean, we're just going to roll with it.
I think also, like, we should bring up that this is not. We came up with this idea for a podcast over the summer.
Yes.
But this goes back a lot further than that, because we talked about doing a Drunk Wrestling History YouTube show like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. And we did a test shot for it.
Didn't work out so well.
No, it was terrible.
You were way more drunk than I was.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's crazy, though, is because like I was like completely shit-faced. Carissa swears that I was like putting on being drunk. Like, she was like, oh, dude, you were like acting like you were way more drunk than you were. I was like, no, I don't remember recording that.
That so might have been me. I might have been pretending.
I don't know,
to be
dude. All I know is I watched the video. It was very embarrassing, and like that's when I abandoned it.
Because we talked the double turn, right? Demolition versus the Powers of Pain, I believe, was the topic of conversation for that.
I think we talked about the Mega Powers exploding.
Well, see, we were apparently very drunk.
Oh, we were fucking completely wasted, dude. That was at your house. That was in front of the old WrestleFest arcade game.
Yes.
And it was an absolute disaster. And we kind of just decided that if you can't see us, it might be okay.
Yeah, right. We'll save this shit show for a podcast.
Right.
Yeah, and exactly. Here it is.
Yeah. Right. And off we go.
So maybe we should talk about our credentials. Like, what makes two drunk guys, Eddie and Scott, qualified to talk about wrestling? That's a great question, right?
Let's talk about that and then talk about what we're drinking.
Oh, okay.
After.
Well, actually, let's talk about what we're drinking first.
You want to
do
that
first? We'll get into our credentials.
Okay.
So, Ed, your story is, what are we drinking?
Okay. So we are drinking... I don't know if anyone here from here. I know your buddy Brandon, who's always has the good seats in Buffalo.
The great at Hova on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, has been to Toronto because he was there for SummerSlam. I don't know if he drank it, but my favorite beer in the world is a Canadian beer. It's called Rickard's Red. You can only get it in Canada. So we were in SummerSlam. We were in Toronto for SummerSlam. That's where Carissa and I got married. And my first time in Toronto was actually there for 18. And I love that city. So when we were there for our wedding, for our honeymoon, we went to St. John's, which is the greatest city on planet Earth. And they have a beer there. Well, they have it all over the place, but that's where I first had it. It's called Rickard's Red. It's my favorite beer. I smuggled 12 bottles back home.
Smuggled, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, in my luggage.
He's a felon.
I'm not a felon. No, it's I shouldn't say smuggled. I mean, it's legal, but
it's on the internet now, so you've already pissed 50,000 people off.
It's not like it was
statistically.
Okay. So yeah. I brought home a case of it. That was all I could fit in my luggage, And it's my favorite beer in the world. It's called Rickard's Red. If anyone is in Canada and can get that, or is close to Canada and get it, do so. It's the goddamn best.
It's incredible. It's incredible. In fact, here.
Oh, it's my special occasion beer. I only got 12, so tonight is a special occasion, so we're drinking it.
With a launch
episode.
I got
back in August. We've had, yeah. I think I've drank about 4 of them so far. So,
cheers.
Go. Cheers. Okay, and as far as our credentials go, yeah, we were both like very, very long-term marks.
that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like to the, like probably like hopefully a lot of you are. I don't remember not watching wrestling. I've been watching it like since I was like a very like young kid. Like,
we're 80s kids.
Yeah, we're 80s. Okay, I was born in 78. You were born in like what, the late 50s?
Early 60s, late 50s.
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe more precisely 74.
Right. Okay,
but we'll go with your numbers.
Math is hard. It's the
math
end
is
of the
hard.
Week. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
We didn't do Common Core.
And alcohol is in your system. Math is hard.
It is.
Yeah.
So
it
we
is.
Came up on 80s wrestling mostly, and we even stuck with it in the 90s when it was awful.
Right. We enjoyed the Smoking Guns. That's right. Enjoyed. Okay, I'm speaking for myself, apparently.
Yeah, not me.
Ed did not enjoy them.
No.
But
I like the Beverly Brothers.
Okay, I did not.
They were like the two ugliest.
This is what you call balance,
right?
Yeah, gosh.
Like they were just like terrible. Like they were, oh God, you look at those guys' faces and you're just like, this is.
It was like, hey, we have to find a home for this AWA cast off tag team. Let's just call them the Beverly Brothers. Give them the Genius as a manager and call it good. Give a title match at SummerSlam 92. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, we are Hogan kids.
Yes.
I guess you could say born and raised on 80s wrestling.
Right.
I became a fan around late 84, 85, right around the time of WrestleMania 1, and I never stopped. And it's funny because when you talk to a lot of like Attitude Era fans, they used to watch wrestling in the 80s. They stopped in the mid-90s, and then around the late 90s got into Attitude Era. But the common theme is they stopped watching.
Yes.
You and I never stopped watching. The hooks of wrestling stayed embedded in our skin. We never lost that love. We never lost that passion. And it still exists to this day. Ed, please tell our listeners, how many WrestleManias have you been to?
I've been to 19 WrestleManias next year.
19,
I'm
folks.
I'm getting my tickets this month.
For the record, how many WrestleManias are in existence right now? We are coming up on 36. WrestleMania.
Yeah, 36.
36.
Yeah, and I hit, I think it was like, I couldn't do the math right now, but
because
yeah,
of records.
A few years ago, I got to where I was like, I've been to half the WrestleManias. I think that might have been in New Orleans or something, but
yes.
Yeah, I've been to 19. Exactly. And,
you've been to half of them, over half of them.
No, I've been to more than half. I've been to like roughly 60% of them.
Right. I've been to 12 and a half.
Okay.
And we're counting a half because I watched WrestleMania 4 on closed circuit at the Oakland Coliseum. I watched Macho Man win the tournament, which, spoiler alert, WrestleMania 4 will be an upcoming episode of the Drunk History of Wrestling podcast. But I've been to 12 and a half, not as many as Ed, but those are kind of our credentials for hosting and having a drunk wrestling history podcast. We enjoy alcohol, we enjoy wrestling, and here we are.
Okay.
They're looking at me. I've been to 1/6 of a dozen WrestleManias.
That's 2.
Exactly.
Excellent math.
Yes.
That fraction doesn't make sense.
It was worth a
Dean Douglas
it was
is
worth
like
a shot.
Shaking his stick at us. It's not good math.
In the few months that Dana Brooke was that statistician, she could calculate that.
You know what? I just want to point out, I have a cough. I'm like coming off a cold right now.
He might be dying.
And like, no, it's not a big deal. But like, since we're recording so many weeks of shows tonight, I'm going to have like a 12-week cough. So
it's awesome.
I'm not actually sick until like late January. It's just we're recording it all at once. Like, I'm going to have like the Bob Orton's cast of coughs. Like,
right. That'll be your podcast crutch is you're wearing the Bob Orton cast.
Right.
Yeah. So in like episode 4, I'm going to be like, hey, Ed, how's your cough?
Not well, Vince.
Love it.
So kind of for this episode, since it's the first one, we decided probably what we should talk about is our first memories of getting into wrestling. And mine are really fuzzy, but I have a specific thing. and I don't know about Scott.
No, I totally do, but please go first.
Okay. So mine, I don't really, mine's kind of weird because I don't remember. So the first show I remember watching was Superstars of Wrestling, and it was on, it obviously, like, it was like every, probably like everyone else, it was on right after Cartoon Saturday morning.
Yep.
And the Wrestling Challenge was on Sunday. Here, so our local station was the Oakland station.
Channel 2.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, we're out of the Bay Area. On Sunday, it was on right after Soul Train, which was awesome because I grew up watching the end of Soul Train. So, like, Don Cornelius to me was like a G.
Oh, that voice.
Right?
Ooh. Yes.
You can bet your last money. And it was like that dude was dressed like Superman every week, but like he had like a weird head or something.
Yeah.
So I don't remember the first week I watched Superstars or Wrestling Challenge. The first actual match I remember watching, and a lot of you might remember this, was Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff on Saturday Night's Main Event in a cage match. And I know it wasn't the first match I ever saw because I wouldn't have stayed up till 11:30 on a Saturday night if I'd never seen wrestling before. And that was like, I think at that point, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling was already on TV, right?
It might have actually already been over with.
Yeah, right. So this would have been like 86.
Right.
So I was well aware of it. I'd watched a cartoon. I had that dumbass, remember the Hulk Hogan like workout set where it was like the shirt you could rip off with the Velcro?
Yes, and it had like the little weights and stuff with it. Yeah.
I had that, and that would have been before this. So I guess it's just because I would have been like 7 or 8. When that match happened. So I remember the match, but I don't really remember much before it. All I know is I was watching the match, and it was like late. It was way past my bedtime. And for some reason, Saturday Night Live wasn't on. And they got out of the cage at the same time, right?
They both
climbed out of the cage.
Yep.
And they hit the floor at the exact same time.
At the same time, right.
And
Cena and Batista at
the Royal
Rumble.
Right, right, right.
Yes.
But Cena Batista was a fucking, that was a shoot though. That was crazy.
That was an accident.
Right? I mean, yes. That was, and the crazy thing about that being an accident was how exact they hit the floor at the same time.
Right,
and
right.
By the way, you and I were there. That was Fresno.
Correct.
Right? That was the Rumble 2005.
Yep.
But when Hogan and Orndorff did it, I was like, oh my God, this is nuts. I couldn't believe it. And looking back on it, I was like, I wonder if their timing was that good or if did they edit that because it wasn't edited live.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't live, so who knows.
But as a kid.
As a kid, I don't know anything about that. Right, right. And it was just like, oh my God, like Hulk Hogan didn't win. Like I couldn't.
Yeah, Hogan tied.
Right, Hogan tied.
What is this
like,
bullshit?
Like, my mind was blown. I was like, I didn't know what the hell I was seeing. Like it was crazy. And then he got, you know, obviously then they got back in the ring and Hogan whooped his ass.
Right.
As Hogan does.
Right.
And that was that, but that was kind of like, and that was, from that point on, it was like every bit of wrestling I could consume, which I didn't have cable back then because I was, you know, I lived with my grandparents and they were fucking ghetto and wouldn't put cable in the house.
It happens.
Yeah, bitches. And
that's what I told them.
Right. But that was that, but then it was like, I couldn't wait for, you know, because so that would have been 87, so that would have been before three, right? Yeah, that would have been, that was January 87, so that before three. So I remember the whole shenanigans behind three, but I didn't see three. I didn't see a pay-per-view till four, which, like you said, we'll get to later.
Yep.
But that match was that's like my first memory. I know that's not the first thing I ever saw, but it's the first thing I can remember seeing, and, you know, due to my young age compared to Scott's at the time.
Well, okay, for the record, I'm 5 years older than you are. So let's not get carried away.
Okay.
I'm not using a cane yet or a walker with tennis balls on the bottom. So my first memory of wrestling actually comes from
That's gotta be Kane.
Mark. My first memory of wrestling actually stems from the LJN line of wrestling figures. I remember seeing a Jimmy Superfly Snuka figure on the peg. I had no idea what wrestling was, but I saw this action figure hanging on the peg, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, it's kind of cool looking. I was looking for like other wrestling or other toys at the time at Toys R Us, like Mask or G.I. Joe or something. Saw this Jimmy Superfly Snuka figure hanging up. I'm like, what is that? Turn over the package. There's all these cool looking guys on the back. And I'm like, Mom, I want one of these figures. She goes, the last thing you need is another toy. Put it back. You don't need that crap. So I go back to school the following Monday, and all my friends are talking about wrestling. They're like, Ricky Steamboat and Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, and you got to check out this guy and this Hulk Hogan. I'm like, who are these people? Like, this cast of characters sounds amazing. that's what got the hooks in me for wrestling. I remember watching Channel 2 that upcoming weekend and getting introduced to all these guys. And it really stemmed from that LJN line of figures hanging on the pegs. I didn't know what wrestling was, but I quickly introduced myself to it. And was just, from that point on to right now, this moment, I've never lost that love of wrestling. It's just from the Saturday Night's Main Events to the WrestleManias to the Mr. T appearances. I was a huge fan of A-Team. So the fact that he was teaming up with Hulk Hogan was incredible to me. All the kids at school were talking about wrestling, and that's what really got the hooks in me. And unlike a lot of other people that got out of it in the mid-90s, I never lost that love of it. And here I am today with a drunken wrestling history show with one of my best friends and now one of my newest best friends, a total Mark. But I've never lost that love of wrestling. And that's, if you want to go over with, okay, what gives you the credentials to do a wrestling figure or a wrestling podcast, there it is.
So you've always been way into the figures.
I still collect figures today, but you can't be a fan of the figures without loving the entertainment of wrestling in addition to that. One doesn't go without the other. So I still love wrestling. Again, 12 and a half WrestleManias, the half being WrestleMania 4.
That's a good half, though.
It's a solid half.
I mean, yeah, it's if you're going to see one on TV, that's the one to see on TV.
And it was live on closed circuit. It took place at the Oakland Coliseum. Like you, I also did not see WrestleMania 3 happen. I used to have to get my results through the newspaper. Actually, the Tribune.
Yeah. Right. I remember hearing the results of, I think it was 5 on the radio.
Okay.
My grandparents used to just like leave the radio on all day. Like they're fucking weird.
Yeah, how some people are with a TV. It's always on, like...
Right, like in my house, the office is always on.
Right.
But they would leave the radio on like KMBR. That's KMBR is the channel with the dude you sat next to on the fucking plane to Atlanta, right?
Gosh.
We'll talk about that later. That was great.
WrestleMania Memories, that
yes,
show.
Yes, exactly.
Another spoiler alert.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember they used to like, because we didn't have cable, so like I couldn't get a pay-per-view, but they would come into the room and they'd be like, oh, Hulk Hogan won. We heard it on the radio. Like, it was kind of crazy back then.
Yeah. Well, without having the internet, it made it really hard to get wrestling results. So for me, I remember WrestleMania 2. I was so concerned if the British Bulldogs won the tag team championships or not. My dad gave me the sports page of the Oakland Tribune, and I found out the WrestleMania 2 results from the Oakland Tribune. And then I believe 4 or 5 months later, it was on Showtime. I don't know if you remember that, but they showed actually WrestleMania 2 on Showtime. And so I was able to watch the card from that. And then I got the VHS home video. And
no, I don't remember that because I didn't have Showtime. Because like I said, I didn't have cable. But thanks for reminding me how poor I was when I was a child.
Yes. Luckily, you've risen from the ranks of poverty to your current status of being a WWE Network subscriber.
Right.
Since 2014.
Was 2 was the match with the Bulldogs where... What the fuck's his name?
Alice Cooper.
No. Dynamite Kid fucked his back up. Was that 2?
No. That happened at a house show between 2 and 3.
No. Dynamite fucked his head. It was the match where, remember he got on the top rope or the second rope and Davey Boy shot the dude into his head and he
headbutt. That happened. Yeah. And right, he like so then off camera fell.
He fell and he hit I just learned this like a few months ago. That was the match where he fucked his back up, and it was like a stupid-ass spot where he hit the railing, and it wasn't even on camera.
Yeah, it happened off camera. Like, he just kind of flew off the screen.
So he took a stupid, unnecessary fucking fall off the second rope toward the railing, didn't get it on camera, ruined his back, destroyed his career.
Oh, I thought that happened in a match at a house show with Bob Orton and Don Morocco, is what I had heard. Maybe. By the way, it was not Alice Cooper. It was Ozzy Osbourne in their corner. I apologize.
Yes, right. Right. No, Alice Cooper was in Jake the Snake's corner.
Jake the Snake's at
Maybe
3,
you're right,
correct.
But that's the story I heard. And not to be a dick, but I hope that's a story that's true because Dynamite Kid was a fucking asshole. And I like to think that he ruined his career over a spot that did not make it onto TV. Thank you.
For the record, you have always been anti-Dynamite Kid.
No,
like, you've hated his guts.
No, I liked him until I read Brett's book and realized what a fucking dick he was.
Right, like to the Rougeos.
Right, and he like that part where he punched a referee in the fucking mouth for no reason in the truck.
Mick Foley as well.
Yeah, no, he's a dick.
Like, wrecked him.
Fuck that dead asshole.
Whoa.
Jeez.
I can hear the unsubscribe button. Anyway, I just wanted to point out, since you were saying like you got into it because of, you got into wrestling because of the figures. I don't know if you know this, but there's a really cool wrestling podcast, wrestling figure podcast that Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins host. You should check it out. Salud.
If I could reach across the corner and fucking strangle the shit out of you, you son of a bitch. We're going to delete that part later.
No, we're not.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You edit the show.
I'm the one with the MacBook, bitch.
We know who the originals were.
So, Adam, anyway, what about you, dude? Like what's, because you got into wrestling right, way, way later than we did.
Yeah, so mine would be about, right after WrestleMania 2000.
Which that, we were that at. Year,
WrestleMania 2000.
Which was in Anaheim.
Yes. So, you were there or you watched it on pay-per-view?
So, no. I got a VHS of a TLC compilation. This was even before the existence of the TLC match. It was like one of those quick documentary compilations with Edge and Christian, Dudley Boys, and Hardy Boys, just showing like what the impact has been with the implementation of tables, ladders, and chairs in matches, and how this is now becoming a standard, not just a specialty of it. So it was around that time. I myself did not have cable growing up, and so I think what led me to it was that I did have awareness, like. That TLC video that I received, that was like one of the factors that hooked me in. Before that, like when I would go on vacations or go to other friends' houses that had cable, they were already watching WCW or WWF at the time. I did not know any of the wrestlers, but I just knew that there was an awareness coming out with all of my friends. So. One of the things that really engaged me as well is that around the time of the Mighty Ducks 3 movie, just the character Goldberg, the goalie, my friends would also talk about, oh, yeah, Goldberg was great last night. Did you see him? I'm like, wow, did the guy from the Mighty Ducks movie really make a career out of himself? And then they start explaining, oh, no. There's this guy Goldberg. He's on wrestling. You need to check it out.
Did you think Goldberg was an actual hockey player?
Like no.
In movies to playing fucking
hockey? Other way around. I thought the actor that played Goldberg became a wrestler.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That sounds like WCW.
So
you have Kiss on.
So that brought the awareness in. The TLC video that I received that pegged me into start watching WWF. And so I'm like, okay, I really like this. How am I going to watch this? I don't have cable. My only option is watching SmackDown. And so the very first SmackDown that I watched, it was the one after Chris Jericho beat Triple H for the WWF title, which that decision was reversed later on. And
yeah,
that whole one where DX fired Earl Hebner. And then in the days between that Raw and the upcoming SmackDown, Taz won the ECW title on a day off. So he and Triple H faced off in the main event of that first SmackDown that I watched. So that is like my first committed memory to watching it. And obviously I couldn't get cable for X amount of years. So SmackDown was my show. The only other way I could watch something from Raw or even Sunday Night Heat, I would have to go to a friend's house or watch it on the old WWF Metal show.
I remember that.
I forgot about Metal.
That was also on UPN. And
UPN, so, wow.
Yeah.
Taking it
yeah,
back.
Even before the when they merged with I forget what. Was it WB Network?
WB.
Yeah.
Or was it UPN?
It was WB and UPN. They became CW.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, that's how I got awareness for the rest of the shows that were taking place. And then I think just also what really solidified my bias to SmackDown. Again, nothing against Raw. It's just that it's what I started with, and that's what I'm. That's the show that I'm dedicated to. It was after the two-man power trip. This is about a year later after the invasion, or 2 years. I forget how long it was, but after the two-man power trip lost their tag titles, and Triple H tore his quad, there was that four-way TLC match on SmackDown, and I'm like, oh my God, this is on broadcast wrestling. I get to watch this that I've never been able to watch before. So I'd say like that part was the anchor that really solidified my dedication to SmackDown and just in general paying attention to the company. And that pretty much that built up my awareness. Where I'm at now, and the only thing I didn't like about the timing of meeting the two of you guys is that if I met you maybe 6 months earlier,
that
I would have...
That it happened?
Yeah. No, we're talking several years later. Yeah. If I met you guys like maybe 6 months earlier, I could have gone to the WrestleMania at Levi Stadium, which is 30 minutes from my place. I met you guys...
Well, you could have gone anyway.
I could have, but I mean, it wouldn't have been with company.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true. But I met you right after that, and you've become, you are my wrestling family. I mean, aww. Eddie, you are literally my wrestling dad. Scott, you are my wrestling uncle.
Aww.
He's your wrestling grandpa.
That's what you're calling him. I'm calling him uncle.
Son of a bitch.
Which makes Chris and Shannon wrestling mom, wrestling aunt.
The house moms.
Yeah.
The hens.
Who are drinking wine outside.
They are. We've actually... We've gone on a dinner date, and they haven't. And Chris pointed out that, yeah, we're on a dinner date. This guy's not my husband. That was in New Orleans. That was hella funny.
Oh yeah. Which, by the way, we were in New Orleans for 34.
Yes. And 30. Well,
and we'll get to both of those.
Yes.
Later.
But yeah, so those are
34 was the last time I threw up while I was drinking until 2 weeks ago.
Right, 2 weeks ago you broke that record. Yes, so
that's a little teaser for when we get to the 34 episode.
You had a nice streak running.
Yeah, I was
with no throwing up from drinking.
Right. Also, like, we'll talk about later.
All right.
I was going to defend myself, but we'll do it later.
Don't do that.
Right.
You're the one that didn't do a shot.
You know what?
That'll be a special episode.
Also, I just remember we totally forgot to address something earlier today. So. So we're recording this in my house. I live, we live in the Bay Area. Scott lives about 45 minutes
40
from
to 45 me. Minutes
right.
away, yes.
So today, the plan for today was the reason we picked today to do the podcast is because we were already going to get together and we were getting semi-matching tattoos, Scott and I, and both of our wives, Chris and Shannon. They don't exactly match, but they're sort of the same gimmick.
There's a common thread, yes.
Right. We'll tweet pictures of it.
Sure.
But so fucking Scott shows up at my house at like 2 o'clock, right? We're supposed to be at the tattoo place at like 2:30.
We're ahead of schedule, which is very uncommon for us.
Right. No, he never does that. He's normally here. Like if I say to be here at 2:30, like 2:45, he tells me he's leaving his house.
Right. If we were wrestlers, our gimmick would be being late.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets over here and Shannon's like, oh, here's the guacamole for tonight. I put it in the refrigerator and we're kind of bullshitting. And I look around. I'm like, hey, dude, you were going to bring a microphone for the podcast. Did you bring that? He didn't bring the fucking microphone.
I drove all the way from Tracy to San Lorenzo and didn't fucking bring the microphone. So we had to rearrange the tattoo schedule. I could drive back to Tracy, get the microphone, come back. Luckily, it worked out. And
yeah, but it was a big thing because we had to drive to Castro Valley. So we had to drive about 10 minutes east to my house.
Yeah.
But that turned into like 35 minutes east of my house because there was a fucking parade.
A parade. Of all days.
Yeah. I don't even know why parades are legal.
They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. Not in California anyway. The traffic is horrible enough.
Yeah. But then they shut the street down for the parade like 4 hours before the fucking parade started, dude. It was like a lights, like a Christmas lights. Fucking, I don't even know what it was.
Some stupid shit.
We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah. So it took us like 35 minutes to do a 10-minute drive. Then he had to get his tattoo, drive his ass back to Tracy, and then drive back and pick me up. And it was... Then he shows up, we couldn't get the goddamn microphone to work, which is the greatest part of it.
So anybody that's done a podcast can relate to this. You get everything set up, you expect it to work, and what happens? You have three microphones set up, and one of them does not work. That's technical difficulties. Anybody that's ever done a podcast can vouch for this. There's going to be technical difficulties. Regardless of how many times you've done it, you've got everything perfectly prepared, tested. You've got an interview set up. Your microphones are working perfectly. The person on the other end, their shit doesn't work. Or on your side, one of your two shits doesn't work. It happens. Technical difficulties happen.
Sad!
Forgetting microphones happens. We've already established I'm at an advanced age, right? I'm 45 years old.
Oh.
I'm very old. I'm closer to 50 than I am 40. I'm very old. So forgetting shit, look, this isn't the first time. It won't be the last time. I'm just saying. Get used to it. Technical difficulties and forgetting shit. This is an old man podcast, except for Adam. This shit's going to happen.
I'm yeah. getting there.
You're not there yet, though. You want to trade?
So anyway, that's kind of like sort of the background on the podcast. And it's sort of, yeah, I think our credentials speak for themselves.
Oh, there's no doubt. Watching since right. the mid-80s, again, that's kind of our shit. Like, would be like mid-80s to present.
We and fucking rule.
Well, pretty much. In terms of like, and look, we're not Dave Meltzer, right? We're probably not even Ryan Satin when it comes to wrestling knowledge and knowing behind the scenes shit. Like a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about, and we want to open it up to you guys too. If you have suggestions, hey, you guys should talk about this. We'll probably talk about it. And if we don't have knowledge ahead of time, we'll look it up or we'll watch it on the network, whatever. But we're not those guys. We don't have behind the scenes knowledge and all that shit. A lot of what we're going off of is our love of wrestling, our knowledge of it happening at the time, and we'll talk about it. But we're not Meltzer, and we're not Satin, and we don't have behind-the-scenes info. We're just huge, huge fans of wrestling. We love it. We never lost our passion for it. And here we are. We're hammered. We're drinking Rickard's Red. We're hanging out with Adam, who's drinking a Dr. Pepper. And we love wrestling, and we're talking shit with you guys.
That's it, and that's all, man.
That's it, and that's all.
All right.
It's a fantastic project that we got here.
Yeah.
It is. And so our method to our madness moving forward, would we like to go into that, how we're going to kind of structure our expectations for the shows moving forward? So we're going to be a bi-weekly show. You're going to get our main show every other week.
Yes.
In between those weeks where you're getting our main show, we're going to give you guys little pieces of candy. And what we are calling those pieces of candy is 205 Jive. And that's just us, the three of us, riffing on any given topic. But it's going to just be very short to the point. There will be some hilarity involved. But it's more just little pieces of candy in between our main show. Because again, we're doing these in one lump. Much like NWA Power that Jim Cornette is doing right now. It's going to be very similar to that. So we want to keep weekly content with you guys. Every other week is going to be our main show. In between that, you get little pieces of candy, just little treats here and there. And that's how it's going to be moving forward. So get used to it.
Also, a lot of specials coming up. I mean, we're bound to be traveling for some wrestling adventures. Something unique and improvised and thrown together may happen.
There may even be like, some guests involved.
Yeah. Like, or if there's a live pay-per-view, maybe we'll throw some commentary on it, and you could watch it the way we're watching it. It'll be interesting.
I would try to Skype you into Tampa, but I'm going to be so fucked up, dude. Just
yeah.
To figure out Skype.
Yeah, you live in the gimmick, brother. Drunk history.
Keep it real. All right, well,
that's definitely a compliment to Tampa.
Yeah. Way to go, Tampa. Yeah.
I think that'll about do it for our first episode. I think we've given you a pretty good background on us and things of this nature and explained ourselves to you.
And fun thing to point out, they are both sitting upright. So
right now, but we're only on episode one.
We'll fix that. Their pints have dwindled down a bit. So,
yes.
You know, I can vouch for them. They are doing their job very well.
Thank you.
But,
thank you.
We're committed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any kind of gimmick, whether it's in the ring or behind stage or even behind a microphone, got to commit to it. That's how the business works.
Right.
But yeah, just as Scott said, most likely we're going to be talking about any and every topic, But still, if there's something that is jumping out at you, I mean, just shout out about it on Twitter. We'll, I mean, it could be something very unique that didn't even dawn on us, and then it'll just spark a communal interest in it. We'll jump into it because it's our podcast. We'll do what we want with it. But again, make sure that you follow us on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk. Just want to remind all of you to please enjoy your buzz and watch wrestling responsibly. Hope you enjoy this episode. We'll see you for some future episodes to come. Again, my name is Adam. We've got Scott. We got Eddie. We're enjoying drinks, enjoying friendship, and the love of wrestling. So, one, two, three. One
girl. Cheers. Wrestling. Yo, we should body slam. She would always text me. She says she likes it hardcore. Baseball bats and barbed wire. Thumbtacks that are on fire. You know, I think something ain't right. She threw me through a table last night. She don't know it ain't real life.
You should see our home movies. They're pretty tight.
I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny hoe.
She's always laughing.
And a middle finger always flashing. I was like, girl, you so stone cold.